Gospel for this All Saints Sunday is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Parents of children, I can't tell you what I said to the children, but when you get home, remind them of what I spoke to them about. Thank you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, 5 of our young members will receive their first communion. 4 of them, Samantha Biesinger, Hannah Salone, Johnny Kneipler, and Madison Pelnat, are lifelong members of Holy Trinity Church, having been baptized right there. Ryan Boswell comes to us from Parkside Church, and he will receive his first communion at their 9:30 service this morning. But he and his mother have agreed that after church is out at Parkside, they will come here so that he will be here with his graduating class for cake. The preparation for the reception of one's first communion is really quite simple. We gather on 2 nights for about an hour and a half each night. We dine together, and then we talk about what communion is, what it means to the children, what they perceive it to be, as well as what the church hopes they will come to understand about it. We don't try to teach them everything. We finesse the deeply theological overtones, and instead focus on the history of the sacrament in the church and the fact that within it we come to be in Christ's presence and that God's love is somehow communicated through it. Essentially, that's all you really need to know about it, that in it Christ is with us, and through it we learn that God loves us. Everything else is gravy. To put flesh on the bones of the event, we spend a little time talking about the Exodus and the Passover, about Moses and Pharaoh, about the escape from Egypt and the crossing of the Red Sea. We remind them of our heritage in Israel, of God having a hand in the salvation of an oppressed people, of a rescue from the consequences of sin and death. And we talk about eating lamb and unleavened bread, of the plagues of Egypt and the final plague that occurred with the death of the firstborn. And we talk about how the children of Israel were spared from death by the blood of the lamb sprinkled on the doorposts of their homes. We talk about the fact that Jesus was Jewish and not Lutheran or Baptist or, heaven forbid, Presbyterian or Methodist. We remind them that the Passover is the highest holy day in the Jewish liturgical year, and that Jesus was celebrating it with his friends on the night in which he was betrayed. We talked about how the imagery and the images, the sights and sounds, the smells and food of that ancient ritual were all wrapped up in the words and deeds of Jesus on the night before his death. When he spoke about bread, how he wanted them to remember about how that bread would be food for their journey. And when he spoke about blood, and how the blood of another lamb protected and preserved God's people from certain death, that he was talking about the past and the present and the future. We tell the children that when they hear these words of remembrance, when they repeat the words Jesus used on that fateful Passover night so long ago, when they sing the Lamb of God, that it's all connected, and that God had a plan, and that that plan included them from the very beginning. What they learn in this First Communion instruction is that it all happened as it did, so that when they come to receive the bread and wine, they become a part of the history of salvation. And they join that unbroken line of all the saints. That they learn that they are the ones for whom Abraham left the comfort of his homeland. They are the ones for whom Joseph journeyed into Egypt. They are the ones for whom Moses risked questioning God and challenged the strongest ruler on earth. They are the ones for whom the Israelites took that first step into the muddy river bottom. So do we. Each time. Every time. I have to tell you that of the many things I do here as pastor, First Communion class ranks at the top of my favorite thing to do. And I can't really tell you why, except for the fact that there's always great joy that surrounds the event. And this class's experience of it is no exception. As a matter of fact, they are probably one of the most joyful groups I've ever had. I need to tell you, their enthusiasm is infectious. They listen to what you have to say. They respond to you. They were excited about it. They were thrilled to be learning about it. They wanted to eat the bread and drink the wine. They wanted to stick the wafer up at the top of their mouth where he told them they shouldn't do it, because you're going to go like this for an hour. And then I love it when they take their first sip of wine and they all go. And I say, remember that when you're in college. We laughed when I tried to teach them all of the special names of the hardware we use at the Eucharist. The flagon was the dragon. The ewer, which is the little thing that we hold water in when we wash our hands, became the urine. They were continually asking and answering questions. They did the reading. They enjoyed the dinners. They were polite. They were inquisitive. They were fun. If I could bottle what they have, it would be an elixir that everyone would buy and would be willing to pay dear for it. In a very real way, It was priceless. It would be well for us to recapture that excitement, that enthusiasm, that pure joy that comes from new discovery, from the aha that God surprises us with when we learn that we are a part of the plan, included in the show, chosen first to be on the team, and come to the realization that the whole event was produced for us. I think back to a couple years ago when you staged a celebration for my 25th year among you. Lots of planning went into that event, and hours of meetings, phone calls, clandestine mailings, hotel reservation, airline tickets made and bought, flowers purchased, food prepared, and all of it done without me knowing about it at all. Until that day, when it dawned on me that all of it was done for my sake. If you recall, I didn't even know what to say when you brought me forward. And when you make a preacher speechless, you've accomplished something. So it is when you come to the table for the first time. You come to learn that it's all for you. That Jesus was born, that Jesus lived, that Jesus taught, that Jesus suffered and died and was buried and then raised from the dead for your sake. So that God could communicate to you that God loves you and means you well. And that God's love can never be extinguished even by death. In a few minutes, we'll be reading the names of those we love who entered the church triumphant this past year. I can't help but think that when the time came for Jeanne Resch to leave the body, which for so many years had become the proverbial milestone around her neck, when Maureen DeSabio was finally free of the ravages that Lou Gehrig's disease had exacted upon her, when Ethel Vowinkle and Meta Zechlin and Pastor Charlie Bachman knew that they would finally see Jesus face to face, the Jesus that they lived for and prayed to and worked for. When Doc Shope and Doc Grabow would meet the other half of their healing team. When Ruth Dunnigan would hear a heavenly choir. When Elaine Smith would be reunited with her beloved Sheridan again. When cancer could no longer stifle the spirit of a Karen Schoden or Charlotte Vogelzang or Phyllis Bastion. When Helen and Vera Joseph and William George and Richard Mildred and June and Horace, at the end of lives well lived and loved, were finally given the reward of faithfulness and the joy of hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord and Master." I suspect they had the giddiness of Samantha and Madison. The sheer joy of Ryan and Johnny. The wonder and sense of awe that Hannah will have today. And that they will know too that God is there. Has always been there, and that the whole history of salvation was for their sake. Thanks be to God for all the saints. Amen.